Florida, they watched a couple of those funny Christmas shows, and I like those funny Christmas shows myself. And this one's that the mall man, you know, a police officer. It's kind of a,
That was in San Angelo.
Yeah, it was in San
Angelo. You said Florida.
Oh, not Florida, in San Angelo. And the mall, mall cop, something like that. But it's just so funny, you know, scooting around trying to get a little bit of drip of ice cream. I mean, that's just hilarious stuff, you know. I don't know how they come up with such funny stuff, but I like it nonetheless. You know, but he is a magician on that. What's that thing called? You know, I wish I had it in Washington, D.C. We're going around, you know, the little scooter that has two wheels, you know, and he has a bar. Segway. Man, those things look like that. Melissa, she was walking across the back of the room. I could have swore she was on one of those. Boy, that girl can walk so fast. Man, I tell you, she is quick. She is quick. Well, we're going to have a good time. The Christmas party coming up. Looking forward to that. Miss Andrea's working hard on it. And then she bailed me out with the flowers, her and Miss Sydney, to get these up here. And so that is a blessing. And I appreciate it so very much. The other day I spoke about the name Jezebel, but you know, and got into that passage, of course, with Jehu, and I talked about the name Jezebel, and there's only been one other girl, one woman I've ever met my entire life that was otherwise named Jezebel, and it was just a young girl. I'm gonna say a young girl, maybe 25, 20, something like that. Down here, and that was at the QT. I went by it and I said, yeah, that's where it was. So it was at the QT. And, you know, and I pointed out her name, and you know, from her name tag, Jezebel. And I said, oh, Jezebel, huh? And I said, you're the first person I've ever seen named and even put it out on a tag, you know, named Jezebel. And, you know, and I said, that's interesting. And the guy behind the counter there with her says, oh, yeah, it's a Bible name. It's a good Bible name. I said, well, she said, no, it's really not so good, you know. It's really not so good. And, I, you know, it's sort of like a boy named Sue. You know, why would anybody name their daughter Jezebel? I mean, you just want to slap that mama, you know. Slap. They got this pretty good spice, by the way. It's called Slap Your Mama. And that would be a good time. That would be a justified. What? Somebody's pointing, your brother Steve pointed something. That's Sydney's favorite sprinkle, Slap Your Mama. Oh, well, really, I didn't know that. She's kind of Spice Girl anyway, right? But, well, and I think there's something else about Spice Girl. So Spicy Girl, maybe she's Spicy Girl. But anyways, point out this name, Jezebel, and at the gas station. And it's really one of the most horrid names you could ever imagine for a girl or a woman could choose, in my mind. Now, I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, what is one of the sweetest names that you could ever come up with, ever imagine. And of course, with the influence of Scripture, and I think we'd have to say Mary. Mary. Such a sweet name. No wonder so many baby girls share that good name, and rightly so. If you are in the middle of a Spanish area and a lot of Spanish-speaking people, if you say, hey, Mary, you'll have about half the women turn, you know, to you and think you're calling their name. But it's a wonderful name, Mary. No wonder, and it's a wonderful life with Jimmy Stewart, you know, I'm going to bring that up. You know, his sweetheart's name is Mary. Well, let's take a little bit of a look at Mary tonight and see her reaction to the good, but a really alarming news, but share with her, which gives rise to our present and future celebration of Christmas. In Luke chapter 1, turn over there, Luke chapter 1. Pray for Brother Jeff and Miss Rhonda. Brother Jeff told me he hasn't been home the way he is being home now on his truck driving since, you said, 2009, is that right? 2009. I'm surprised she'll let you put your arm around her, you know. But pray for them because they're together a lot more these days. Now, that's good or that's bad or, you know, maybe something in between. I don't know. But if they can make it work, there's hope for the yokels. Well, I learned something earlier today. there's hope for them. I know she bowed out already, so she knew I was probably going to go there. I don't know where she's at. Where did she run out already? She ran out to the nursery. Well, I'll get them later when they're actually in here where I can really get them good. But Brother Ray said something outlandish in the choir just earlier tonight, and I'll save that good stuff for another time. I promise you, you'll be glad to know it. It'll bless your heart. But Luke chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 6. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, her first words, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. Now, Mary, of course, wasn't old, but Elizabeth was mature, shall we say. And in this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now these are things that only mothers, mommies, can fully understand these things here talking about. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, the rich and the rich. He hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, this is the beginning, of course, the story, this particular gospel about the commission of the Lord our High and the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, his becoming flesh. And it's certainly one of the great mysteries of all ages, how God could become man and walk among us. It goes beyond our comprehension. How a virgin can conceive apart from a fellow human being, a man. And the verse says, though, but what is impossible with man is very much possible with God. And without question, it was a miracle. There's no question at all, it's a miracle. We are limited, and we are limited in our understanding, but God is not. And God saw fit that this would be so. And it was his plan all along. Now, not only in the incarnation a mystery, but also as a miracle, the supernatural, because how the natural birth actually takes place. So it was a supernatural conception. And there are things here that we simply are not told and we don't understand. And it's left a mystery, and it should be a mystery. Mysteries are powerful things. But our Lord Jesus Christ was to be the only baby in the world to have an earthly mother and a heavenly father. Now, he was the flesh, the Bible says, meaning that he did not inherit the sin nature that we actually inherit. Brother Rick was talking about this morning in his class through the seed, of course, of Adam. Since he wasn't a descendant from Adam, he did not carry that condemnation that comes to us all through Adam's death by one man, Adam. So there's no condemnation, of course, to the Lord. And if we reject a supernatural birth, we also have to reject his supernatural salvation. But we don't have to reject it because we accept them both as supernatural. But Jesus, of course, was not polluted from sin and never should be polluted by sin. Job 25:4 says, "How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman?" That's a good question asked by Job. Job understood the sinful condition of man and his offspring. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me." But things are going to be very different with God. God with us, Emmanuel. It's a pretty amazing God with us. Galatians 4:4, "And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." Specifically, made of a woman, but not of man. Not of man. Luke 1:35, "The Holy Ghost said, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." That's all we get. That's all we get. "Shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, there's no doubt in Mary's mind of who's actually involved in this. This is the Messiah. This is God. She knew that this is a reference to that high God, Jehovah God. She knew exactly what was going on in a great sense of who was actually communicating what was going on with her. Now, Mary's response to the message from God's messenger was made into a song or a great declaration, and it's referred to as the Magnificat in verse 46 down through verse 56. And the term means actually an utterance of praise or an exclamation of praise, because it's more than an utterance. The energy is way up, all right? So it's more than just the relation of a poem or something like that. It's a jubilant utterance of praise. Now, before I get into that, I want to show you a parallel in the Old Testament. So hold your place there and go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is another honorable mention. You think about names of women in the Scripture. And this is another one of those that would certainly rise to the top. And Hannah. In chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, 1 Samuel 2, 1, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." This is amazing stuff, and you can see the jubilance. So it's not just kind of low key, it's up there. "Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the end of the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. So Hannah had a similar song or exuberant declaration of praise as well in the Old Testament. There's a lot of similarities between these two ladies, and both of these, of course, very much worth studying out. Now back to Mary in her life. Now things were all aglow. Things were all aglow. And to me, there's nothing, listen, there's just nothing like a pregnant mommy. There's just nothing like it. There's just a glow about their life. And I found out there's some chemical things that are supposed to take place. At least that's what Miss Shalise told me, and I believe her. But boy, there's just nothing like that. But she's all aglow with this. Now, if you were Mary, ladies and girls, and God had selected you, a servant, for this wonderful experience, what would you be feeling right about now? In the text, what would you be feeling? Did I say something funny? Miss Rose is shaking her head. You know, she's trying not to giggle at me. Brother Mark said something funny. Okay, well, you can tell me after church, you know. But sometimes I say things Miss Courtney said that I don't even realize what I said. And that's probably true. It makes me kind of want to quit. But I would think, just think about what would you be thinking had God, the angel Gabriel, came to you and made this announcement? What would you be thinking? Wonder what would you think? You'd be scared. You'd be scared. All right, let's get somebody. Okay, Katie, what would you be thinking if an angel like this appeared unto you and said that you, this before you ever had any babies, before you ever married, of course, and made such an announcement? What would you be thinking? What would be your first thought or reaction? Probably scared, huh? And at that time, all right. Let's get. Okay, Melissa, I'm gonna pick on you over there. What would you be thinking now? Mary would have been younger than you are now, okay? But what would you be thinking? So you'd be scared? Be scared? Well, she had some certain responses here to the Lord, but really you think about it, she's overwhelmed, she's very excited, she's full of faith and joy. She had an initial internal reaction, right? But her first words were a simple question. It's a simple question. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, this is astounding. This is astounding at the strength. This was a young woman, an older teenager, okay? This is a young lady, okay, of age, of course, but still very young. And I stopped to think about this, and what would you think about this if that were to happen to you? Well, the first words out of her mouth, the first words were, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, she didn't say, no way. She didn't do that. But how shall this be when I don't know? Now, that's a question. But it's not a rejection. You see what I mean? It's not a rejection, is it? But how can, in other words, I just don't understand how this is going to take place. She's not rejecting it taking place. She's not saying, I think you got the wrong girl, you know. You met the other Mary. She's three doors down. Just go right down there past the rabbi's house and you'll find her, you know. She didn't do anything like that. But how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the little angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." What's amazing to me is Mary's resolve to welcome this news. Now, I don't know what the sentiment was in Israel during this ancient time. I don't know. But I think I can make a pretty guess at it today. If the angel of God came down and he said, "Now, Andrew, when you remember you're a young girl, you know, you're going to have a baby." No, I'm not. Okay, well, no, yeah, you are. No, I don't have a husband. Okay, but we're going to work through that. Well, what do you mean we're going to work through that? I mean, most girls, I would think in America, would have a long list of questions. or maybe even objections. Well, wait a minute. Maybe I need to talk to my mother about this. I've got an aunt that I'm really, really close to, and I can talk to her about those kinds of things, you know. And can I go see my aunt? Or can I talk to the preacher's wife about this, you know? I would imagine a lot of things would go through a young lady's head if she received this type of announcement today. But it is shocking. That's not Mary's response. I think that's one of the reasons why we are so endeared to Mary. Her instant willingness to surrender to this wonder of wonders, and knowing this is going to be a problem in some ways, but it's going to be so overwhelming, magnificent on the other, I'm not so worried about this other. It could have even, under circumstances, could have ended with the taking of her life. Sure could have. It could have worked out that way. But she surrendered to that. It's the most outstanding thing, I think, of what happened other than the miraculous conception, is Mary's attitude about this. No wonder so many mamas and daddies, it's probably more mommies, you know, want to name their baby girl Mary. Mary. What a wonderful name. Far better than Jezebel, don't you think? I think so. And I think we can develop from this, from her response here of praise, the most and bestest Christmas attitude ever. The most and bestest Christmas attitude ever. And it comes from Mary. It comes from Mary. Now, there are many attitudes, of course, at Christmas time. Some families fight all the time through the season. Even Merle Haggard wrote a song, "If we make it through December, everything's going to be all right," you know. But a lot of people are just fighting to miss all the special time of what it is. And there have been times in my life that I have gone through the Christmas holidays and just felt like I missed it, you know. Just felt like I missed it. And I try to get my fix, you know. It's one of the few times I actually enjoy going to a mall and seeing the lovers skating around the Christmas tree down at the mall downtown where Cindy got lost that one time. You know, she's directionally challenged. She may like the spicy stuff, but she's directionally challenged. But down there at the mall at the Galleria, you go there and they're playing the nice, good Christmas music. They're not that other stuff. They're making good Christmas music down there. And there they are, you know. And I can't skate like that, but I like to watch it. I like to watch it. And that's a good thing. Well, the attitude that you find generally around Christmas is good. Now, there are the bah humbugs in this world. You know, well, just another day, just another day. Oh, you go blow it out your ear, bub, you know. But it is not just any day. It's just not any season. But tensions do sometimes grow high. Family members that don't know how to get along or never really gotten along and just don't know how to communicate to one another. And next thing you know, they're in each other's faces, and they've ruined the attitude of Christmas. Just ruined it. You've ruined everything. Well, not Mary. There's nothing that's going to get in her way of praising the one who's worthy of all praise. See, it opens up her soul, and we get to see what her response is. And God determined to include it in the Holy Writ. How about that? Here's Mary's response, and he included it in the Holy Writ. So what are the characteristics of the bestest Christmas attitude ever? What are the characteristics? Number one, she wanted to magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. We hear it all the time. The reason for the season. She wanted to magnify the Lord. In verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now, not only my lips, but what's coming out, it's coming out all the way from the bottom, all the way up. My soul doth magnify the Lord. If your Christmas doesn't see you magnifying the Lord, you're missing Christmas. You're missing it. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with the song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I'll magnify Him. Magnify Him. Imagine with me that you are Mary and you would feel certain things. And then what about, you know, one of the most outstanding things, especially for a mommy for the first time, first baby, when you first feel the baby kick you in the tummy. Now, after you've been going through that for a while, the joy kind of wears off. At least that's what I'm told. But the first time, you're like, oh, what was that? Did you feel that?
I didn't feel a thing.
You know, I think it was the baby. Put your hand right here, And then when we put our hand there, the baby never does anything, you know, for a while anyway. But what it must have been like for Mary, carrying the Lord Jesus Christ in her tummy. And the first time, she feels him kick, feels him move. Now what in the world, ladies, I mean, can you imagine? Now, not knowing, okay, I'm having a baby. Okay, baby, it's a baby. No, this is not just any baby. This is the Lord, and he's in your tummy. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Magnify the Lord. Number two, rejoice in the Savior. So she wants to magnify. Now, to magnify is to not only magnify in her life, but to magnify the Lord with others, right? So let him shine, let him shine, let him shine. Hide him under a bushel. No, I'm going to let him shine. So that's the idea. The second course is rejoicing in the Lord. In verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So she knew exactly what was going on here. The very fact that God had chosen her in her estate. She was not a princess or anything. She was just a good, godly, young maiden. And she would be remembered throughout all ages, which would be a true privilege for her. And Elizabeth spoke well, and we're still speaking about her. Now, I don't want to take any blessings away from Mary, because she was a virgin, but she was also a sinner, and she needed to be saved by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ herself. But she called this her Savior. She was carrying the Savior of all men. Psalm 32 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is that man. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So Jesus, her baby, was her Savior. Now wrap your head around that. These are the things of wonder. The things of wonder of Christmas time. The bestest Christmas attitude ever is one that wants to magnify the Lord and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. The third thing is enjoy all of the promises. We sing Standing on the Promises. Enjoy all of the promises. Because this was just really not the beginning of his redemptive plan, but it is the beginning of his becoming flesh and walking among us. And so there should certainly be a time set aside to enjoy the promises. This is the one that was promised to come. All the way back, as you know, to Genesis chapter 3. He was promised to come, and now he's coming. He's here. He's here. God with us. Verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Or blessed. I like it blessed. You can have it either way you want to go. Now, for years and years, the Jews have been promised that the Messiah would come through them and bless the entire world. And it was going to take place. And God was going to use a girl. A girl. A girl. Named Mary. Mary. Mary should have a special place in our heart, and we ought to be careful not to put down the dogma and the heresy of the Roman Catholic Church that we in any way belittle Mary. That's not right. You know, shame on them for polluting and distorting who she actually was. But that's on them. Let us not be guilty belittling what God honored. And certainly, she was a sinner, but certainly she was honored. And that's why so many want to call their little girls Mary. So believers have a special place in the heart of God, and all things are possible. And all the promises here are going to come through this one that Mary is carrying in her belly. It's amazing, amazing thing. Years ago, you know, my wife would say, did you feel that? Do you feel that? Put your hand over here, put your hand over here, you know. And, you know, and then on a rare occasion, you would feel something. But the most exciting things I've ever felt, that Dory was cuddled up to me one night, and her big belly was up against my back, you know. And all of a sudden, that baby kicked. I forget which one it was. It was Caselyn? Caselyn kicked me in the back. I'm like, boo, what's that? It's like there's something alive in our bed, and it's not either one of us. You know, and that's the closest I ever came to carrying a baby. That it felt like it came from within, you know. You know what I mean? Okay, you have to kind of use your imagination a little bit. All right, but she's got that belly, and it's pressed up. She's probably cold, you know. And so it kicked me right in the back, and it felt like it. What's inside of me? What's going on here? You know. But it's exciting things. So what does she do? Lastly, the greatest Christmas attitude ever. She declares the good news. Now, there for a while, you know, with the culture wars, people would say you shouldn't, you know, say Merry Christmas, you know, to people, or God bless you, you know, this holiday season with the Christ child, you know. But I think Christians ought to do that. I think we ought to be vocal about our faith. And who cares what they think? Merry Christmas. Matter of fact, you know, sometimes I would say something that somebody would look at me the wrong way, and I would just get louder. I mean, you're going to try to shut me up. You better put me in jail and lock me away. Because now I'm going to say it louder. Now half the store up front is going to hear me say Merry Christmas to everybody. I'm just not going to allow you to shut that down. Why? Because this is the praise of our Lord. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the praise of our God. And we shouldn't allow anybody to shut that up. Anybody. Declare the good news. In verse 50, and His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. And it's still being passed on. The gospel still is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly, the Bible says in Luke 2:13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Are you magnifying the Lord? Are you rejoicing in Him? Are you doing that? Are you standing on the promises that first Noel solidified? It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You know, for a long time, the earth really didn't celebrate a Christmas. I think it's a good thing to celebrate. I really do. I think it's a great thing to celebrate. But lastly, if we're going to have the bestest Christmas attitude ever, we got to be willing to share the good news. Share the good news. Declare the good news. The message is here. So say Merry Christmas to people. So Mary had this attitude. Pretty outstanding attitude. She's worthy of honor. She certainly is. And she's worthy of praise. Give the honor to honor. Honor is due. Praise, you know, praise is due. She's certainly worthy of that. And I think about, of all the different responses, if you did a random sampling, you'll say you took, let's say, 1,000, let's just say 17-year-old girls or 16-year-old girls. You took 1,000 girls. And you gave them the scenario, this is what happened. What would be your response? And you wrote all of that down. How many, what percentage do you think of those 1,000 girls would have such a quick and spiritual response as Mary did? 50%? No, I don't think so. 20? Probably not. I would dare say it'd be below 3%. Maybe even below 1%. You see what I'm saying? Because our natural response, I don't know a man, and this is gonna put me in a very poor light in the community. I mean, have you heard the preaching the rabbi's been doing lately? I mean, I'm gonna be in bad shape. No. I think you got the wrong Mary. Matter of fact, I think her name is Katie. She lives down the road, just going down the road. And she hadn't met Micah yet, so you just go on right down the road. She's a good girl. Maybe she'll have a better attitude about this whole thing. I think Mary had an amazing Christmas attitude. Amazing. It's just a marvel. You stop and think, Mary, in what way were you already living in a God-honoring way that was your response like this? Be it unto me. Because you just don't get to that point. You're already there, you see. She's already, we can say it this way, she's already walking with the Lord. She's close to the Lord. There's no other way I can see it. How in the world could I'm not talking about experienced 35-year-old woman. I'm talking about a young girl. How could she so quickly say, how can this be? I don't know a man. Not, I don't want it, but I don't know how's this going to happen. But then she says, be it unto me, as you say. Wow. Mary had already be at that special place, not even knowing that honor would be bestowed on her. She didn't. There's anything in Scripture that suggests that she would know prior? I don't see it. Brother John, Brother Rick, there's nothing I know of that even slightly indicates it. Just out of the blue, here comes the news. And she says, well, how can this be? I don't know a man. How can this be? He says, oh, this is going to happen. Be it unto me. That's Mary. And I don't know about you, but the way I see that in the Hebrew, that's pretty doggone special. Yeah, pretty special. Let's stand.